This is Victory House.
Amen. All right, so let's go into the Word of God this morning. If you can open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We will try and put this basket here every service in this month of October. If you didn't write anything there. Oh, September, excuse me. Come on. I'm racing to the end of the year, right? In this month of September, we will put this basket here. You won't see this request there when you come back, so you can't update it. You can write another one. You can't say, let me find my own. Because we will need to find it, because you'll be seeing the solutions. You'll be seeing the answers in the name of Jesus. So please feel free to write more, because God is a God that answers prayers. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, from verse 11 to 16, I want to talk on what I call purposeful and passionate. Purposeful and passionate. We're still talking about prevailing prayers. We're still talking about praying and prayer and praying through. And I believe that in this season, you will get answers to results, to requests in the name of Jesus. 1 Samuel 1 and from verse 11. The Bible said, and she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Somebody that has not had a child, shouldn't you just say, give me a child? She said, give me a son. I like people that are bold with God. God also likes it. Give me this mountain. Say it as it is. Don't say, give me something. No, give me a son. I want a son. Some people will say, it's a child, not a child. A child is a child, but it's a son, not a child. If it's a son I want a son. Amen. A girl is a child. If it's a girl I want a girl. I mean, if God has it, why won't he give me? If my kid comes to me and tells me, Daddy, give me $1. I can give him $10, but he asks for $1. I give him $1, right? And so I can't say, come on, just say, give me money and then I'll give you anything. No, ask what you want. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you know you should be asking God exactly what you want. Because some people, when they go before God, they dance around everything. They say, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. And God is like, okay, what do you want? Because all the things that you have said now, you have not really said anything. You have just said everything but the thing you want. I know what you want, but what do you want? You tell me. So she said she wants a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. I like people that come to church by themselves. You know, sometimes people come to church for other people. You know that? They'll be looking at everybody. Is he looking at me? What's my business? If you like, look at me. If you like, feel that my clothes, I didn't wear it well. Is that your problem? Is it not my clothes? Is it your own? Is it not my own? Is it not my dance? Is it not my hallelujah? If I like, let me shout it and roll on the floor. I do want to know what is happening with me. Please, when you come to church, check every association out the door. Come alone. You know, I mean, I know we should behave, civilized and all that, but the civilization should not be with God. You now start forming. You know, people form. They start looking like God, check me out. And God is like, look at this guy. I know you before you know yourself. Even the things you can't see, I can see it. I can see your heart. I can see that he needs to breathe better. So don't tell me I should check out your clothes. I see what you are hiding under the clothes. So when you come before God, be like Anna. The Bible said she looked like a drunkard, but she knew what she was looking for. And look at what Eli said to her. Eli said, how long are you going to stay drunk? He's like, you this drunk woman. Okay, I know you are drunk, but everybody has left the church. You are still here. How long will you stay drunk? Put away your wine. And Anna now replied and said, not so, my lord. Anna replied, I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. Thank God for a God that we can come with our deep troubles. Because there are sometimes good face, fine face does not mean everything is fine. There are beautiful people coming to the beautiful gate, but don't have beautiful lives. Everything is ugly. You know, they put foundation of many generations, and I don't know why they, I don't know if they call it that here too. Why do they call makeup for ladies beats? Like face beats. I don't know if I like that word. To just hit the face, is that what it means? When I first heard the word, I'm like, face beat? Well, whatever. If they beat the face. Oh, I'm not, I don't have a problem with you looking good. Please don't get another message out of this. You can beat the face. I mean, we're looking good, you know, but there are sometimes they are beating the face or look good, but the life is not beat. If you can help me with another one, maybe that would be better. But the life is not good. It's not made up. You know. So he said to her, not so, my Lord. Anna replied, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I speak in the name of Jesus. You who are deeply troubled, you who can't focus on this message because of what is going on at home, I declare that that trouble is lifted in the name of Jesus. I mean, I've been there. Sometimes you are at work, you are at some places, but you are not physically there. You are there, but you are not there. You just have to be there because, I mean, if you leave work now, how will you sort out some other issue? You create another problem. But things are not working well. Deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my heart, out my soul to the Lord. He says, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. When we have great anguish and grief, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to talk to God. Sometimes when people are deeply disturbed, deeply troubled, that's when they stay away from God. That's when they back out. That's when they think, well, just let me sort out this thing. That is when you need to cry out to God. You can cry out to him without any formality and all of that. He will listen to you. God likes people to be real like that. All right? Now, the final verse, it says, do not take your... Is that 16? Is that all of 16? All right. So that's the scripture. The story of Anna, how Anna petitioned to ask God for a baby. I need to say some few things about prayer before I move on this morning. Number one, when we pray and we practice praying, we show that we depend on God for help. When we don't ask God, when we, even on good things, it shows that we are independent of God. And life lived independently of God cannot be the best life. Every life should be lived dependent on God, no matter what's going on. So when you practice praying, when you pray, what you are showing is that I depend on God. Psalm 121 verse 1 says, I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? When I call on God, I am telling God I know the source of my help. The source of my help is not Google. It's not Siri. It's not even my boss. Because sometimes some people think the source of their help is anybody that they know. God can use people, but he is the source. The person he's using is a channel. If you take your eyes away from the source, the channel will not be useful. Let's focus on the channel. So when we pray, it shows that we depend on God for help. When I pray or when I practice prayer, what I'm saying is that I understand that there is more to life than meets the eye. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you the truth. The supernatural controls the natural. There is a supernatural world. Everything is not just like that. Sometimes people see misbehaving boss, they just take it like that. Some they see misbehaving children, they just take it like that. They think it's more talk. Some of this thing is beyond normal. That's why you have to get out of the normal. I'm not saying ignore the normal. I'm not saying if a child is misbehaving, you shouldn't talk to the child. But sometimes don't put all your effort on that. Remember that you can talk to God. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, it says, though we are in the flesh, we do not wrestle in the flesh. It says, though we are in this world, we do not war as the world does. Another translation says, we do not wage war in the physical. The things that we have to deal with many times are not material. Sometimes when your boss behaves, it is because something has gone wrong somewhere else. So you deal with it somewhere else so that it can be dealt with in the natural. Sometimes when you see kids that are behaving, things need to be taken care of in another realm so that in this realm, those kids will align. And I declare over you that anything that is out of whack, out of line, I declare they come into alignment with the word of God in the name of Jesus. So when I practice prayer, I am showing that I depend on God for help. I am showing that I understand that life is more than what just meets the eye. What I'm also showing when I practice prayer is that I know that God, who sees in the secret, can reward me openly. Especially praying personally. That was what I talked about last week, of you having your own personal prayer. When you do that, when you are praying, when there is no church meeting, and sometimes when there is a church meeting, for example, in the mornings, weekday mornings, we help ourselves to pray. 6 a.m. to 6:30, we always have this prayer line where we pray and we just help ourselves, because sometimes it's just too difficult for some people to cover that time. So that's a good opportunity. But you are on your own. You are with your phone. There's nobody seeing you. You may put the phone on speaker and then go and do something else and come back later and then turn it off after. Nobody's going to question you because it's just you. But you need to understand that God sees in the secret and God can reward openly. The Bible says in Matthew, in Hebrews chapter 11, he said, God is a rewarder. I want you to say loud and clear, say, God is a rewarder.
God is a rewarder.
You need to know that. You need to know that. I have had people argue like this and say, well, you don't need to look at God as somebody that if you do something for, he will do something back. And, you know, that's almost taking God like a slot machine. No, you should not take God as a slot machine. But God is a rewarder, sir. God is a rewarder. He says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. No, you can't call on him and he will pretend as if you didn't call on him. You can't be praying in the secret and he will pretend as if he doesn't know you are doing that. He will reward openly. And I declare over somebody listening to me this morning that those tears that you have cried in the secret, those prayer that you have prayed in the secret, very soon you will come and laugh and rejoice about them openly in the name of Jesus. When I pray, when I practice prayer, I'm showing that I depend on God for help. I show that I understand that life is more than meets the eye. I show that I know that God rewards prayers that are prayed in the secret. And another thing that he shows is that I know what is good requires God. And I know what can get better requires God. Or what is not good. And just put it in a better way. So, when you practice prayer, you are showing that even when things are working, it requires God. Because you see, what happens sometimes with people is that they run to God when there's a problem. But prayer is not about running to God because you have a problem. We don't pray because of problem. It is not because of problem that we pray. In fact, that's not the primary reason for prayer. Prayer is communication. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, when God had created the heavens and the earth, he will come down to talk to man. There was no problem. Before the sin, there was no problem. Everything was good. But he will still, the Bible said he will come down in the cool of the day to talk. So prayer is not just about problem. Prayer is a time with God. Prayer is hanging out with God. And you need to understand that when things are good, you should still be praying. Amen. And when things are not good, you should be praying. Amen to that. Because sometimes some people say, well, you know, I'm going through a lot now. I need to fix things. I just need to calm down. And that calm down means excuse God. Don't show up around church. Just stay on your own. Stay in your cocoon and fix things. That's not how it works. When you come to God, when you draw near to him, he also draws near to you. And I see God drawing near to somebody in this season. In the name of Jesus. So in the story of Anna in 1 Samuel chapter 11, chapter 1 and verse 11 specifically, The Bible says, and Anna made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. I discovered another element, major element of prevailing prayer. And by the way, we've been saying many elements of prevailing prayer all throughout this month. We have said that the elements of prevailing prayer includes being praiseful. It includes that the person of the person praying be taken into account. So you check in with your heart. And we said last week that it's also personal. You do it not only in the open. You do it especially in the secret. And this morning, I would like to add to that from this story that prevailing prayers are purposeful and particular, or they are specific. Somebody once said, he said, nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. There are sometimes what people are doing with prayer, they are all over the place, all over the map, saying all kinds of things. No, God is an intelligent being and that you can talk to like you talk to a normal human being. It's okay to use big words in prayer, but you can use same conversational words that you use with your everyday persons in prayer. And when you use them, you can be as specific as possible. Look at what this lady was saying. She was saying, God, give me a child. She didn't have any child. And she said, give me a son. You know, when you pray specific prayer, purposeful prayer based on the word of God, one of the things you show is this. You show that you believe that God is your father. Children ask specific requests from their parents, even if the parents cannot meet it. The one that my kids have been asking me is this. Daddy, we want a bigger house. And I would just laugh. And they've been saying it so many times. I'm like, have you seen something that I've not seen? Tell me about it now. You know? But they don't care. A bigger house. I want it. I'm like, excuse me. And they were giving me the reasons and the things they want in the bigger house. And I said, okay. And one day I told her, I said, tell God, you know, he's the God, he's our father, he's the father of the daddy. You understand? So that's what being specific shows. It shows that you have regarded God as your father. When you come before him, you ask him specifically, and you are not scared that, oh, will he think that this guy is crazy? No, he won't think that. Another thing that when you pray and ask specifically or particularly shows is it shows that you are bold. Can I say this to you? If you want to enjoy the best out of God, be bold. Be bold. Be bold toward God. Ask him for hard things. Ask him for things that seems impossible. Ask him for, but be specific and come to him. Don't think that, well, maybe it will not happen. Will it not look like I'm covetous? If you can find it in the word of God, you can ask him. You can be bold about it. Somebody had never had a child before. People had been mocking her, and she didn't come to God and say, give me a child. There's nothing wrong with asking God for a child. But I think it is better to ask God and say, God, I want a son. And God did not say, you are out of your mind. I mean, can't you just even ask me for a son? A child? Is a girl not a child? Is a son not a child? Because some people say, children are children. Yes, children are children. But a boy is a boy. Amen? Is a boy a boy? Because sometimes in our world now, people try to say, when you say gender, you are discriminating. No, sir. A boy is a boy. Can somebody say a boy is a boy? Boy, is a boy. Say a girl is a girl. It's simple. I don't know about this. If I don't say, if we put, some people are arguing over putting gender stuff on bathroom. Excuse me. We need to know who is going to wear now. You understand? Because somebody can't get into the bathroom and decide when he's in the bathroom that he's a boy. Or in another bathroom and decide that she's a girl. No. You are a girl before you enter the bathroom. Because a boy is a boy. And a girl is a girl. Amen. That's not where I'm going to do this. So let me leave that place. But you get the gist. You can be as specific with God as possible. And one of the things, let's look at this scripture. Give me Hosea 14:2. I need to begin to run now. In the King James verse translation. Hosea 14:2. Look at this. The Bible says, take with you words.
So when you want to be specific in prayer, the specificity of your prayer should be based on words that you take with you. And it should not necessarily be your word. I mean, you can word it in your own word, but it should be a word, it should be word derived from scriptures. The Bible says here, it says, take words with you and turn to God. That is how prayer is. You take the word of God. You take something, you ask requests that are based on scripture. God has promised something. In fact, I think the best way to do it is get that exact quote, exact scripture, where it's exactly written. For example, the scripture that says, I am the head, I am not the tail. Maybe you have been struggling at work. You can take that scripture, exact word. The Bible says in that scripture, Deuteronomy 28, it says, you shall be the head and not the tail. It says, you shall be above only. So you can take that and stand on it for promotion. You don't even need 10 scriptures. I mean, if you can get 10, praise God for that. But if you get one, stand on that one and stand on it and say, God said it. You said it in your word that I can be on top. In fact, in that Deuteronomy 28:13, it says you will be above only. The first time I read it, I felt like maybe there was a mistake. But it's only. It means that you can be on top. You can be the best. I can be the best in this company. Or somebody might say, well, don't you know the kind of school you went to? The Bible didn't say, it didn't explain how the situation would have been before I get there. It just told me that I will be the top. I will be above. And I believe it and I ask specifically. So in that story of Anna, the Bible said she asked God, said, give me a son. She was specific. But she asked it based on the word of God. Because God had already said, none shall be barren in the land. There is none that shall be barren in the land. Later, when even Jesus showed up on the scene, John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, he said, you will bear fruit. And I believe the fruit will also include the fruit of your womb. Amen to that. So that means that when I am in God, when I am connected to God, I am not permitted to be barren in any area of life. So if I'm not fruitful in my job, I can believe the word of God. I can specifically talk about that. If I'm not fruitful in my finances, I can take the word of God and believe it and say concerning that issue. And in 2018, it's even easy to find what the word of God is saying about many issues. Maybe it's several years ago, you needed to be a theology student. Now, even Google, you can say Bible words, maybe say finances. Bible, finances, about. Don't even make it sound logical. Don't write a sentence. Just type it in any order. It will find you scriptures. The first result you will see is scripture. And if you have a phone that is, you know, you can tap or you can touch, you know, I don't want to say smart or not smart, you know, that you can touch or any phone you have and you have a Bible app on it. If you go to the Bible app, it has a search there. You can search for issues. For example, if you are you want to go for an interview, you can search for business. If it doesn't give you an answer, you can search for job. If that doesn't, just check many phrases you can. And if you don't get an answer, come to me. Because there is a scripture there. There's a scripture, there's something in the word of God about your situation that you can take and take back to him. Because you see, prayers is not necessarily we telling God our mind. It is we telling him his own mind that he has revealed that pertains to our own life. That's what prayer is. It's not like, oh, I just go to God. I just go and tell him my mind. Oh, Lord, my mind today is that you see that my neighbor, she has this red under. And I want that. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But I know what the word of God says. What the word of God says, we can take it literally and we can go to him about that. I'm about to close. So in that 1 Samuel chapter 1, the Bible says that she cried out to God. And then she cried out to God asking for his son. Another thing we see in our story in that 1 Samuel chapter 1, is that she didn't just call on God. She had a posture to the way she called on God. The Bible said she poured out her heart to God. In fact, when Eli had met her, She answered like this. She said in verse 15, she says, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine or strong drink, but I have poured my soul out to God. I have, the passion you see in me is, I am putting it into prayer." So I believe prevailing prayers, not only is it praiseful, not only is it personal, not only is it supposed to be particular and purposeful or specific, it is also passionate. It has to draw out from you. I don't know how people can do it and they are talking to God and they are not some level of emotion. I'm not necessarily saying you should cry. Some people don't cry in the presence of God, so to say, you know, it's okay. If you crying is not your thing, I'm not saying you should go and be crying or find a way and make yourself cry by force. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that effective praying is passionate praying too. There is some level of, you put your heart into it. You know, several years ago, somebody asked somebody who is an Olympian or an athlete, how do you jump over the bar? You know, this bar athletes, the ones that, what do they call it now? The jump. Is it high jump? Is that what it's called in the Olympics? Let's take it out. Pole vault. Okay, yeah, I think it's that one. You know, so they asked him, how do you get to the other side? He said they told him, the coach told him that when he gets as close to the bar as possible, he should throw his heart to the other side. He says once he throws his heart to the other side, his body will follow the heart. That means, look, when we are praying, we should bring in our passion into it. We should bring in our heart into it. Because you see, there is something about heartfelt, desperate, I want God to do something type of prayer. Look at scripture. There are several examples in scriptures where it seems some people were not on schedule, but they still had a miracle. The woman with the issue of blood was not on schedule, but that woman was desperate. That woman was passionate. Zacchaeus was not on schedule, but Zacchaeus was desperate. Zacchaeus was passionate. And understand me, desperate and passionate does not even have to do with the volume of your voice. Remember, Anna was not shouting. Remember, Anna was not even saying anything with her voice. The man thought he was drunk because it was only it is the condition of the heart. It's the desperation, the zeal at which you attack this thing, the zeal at which you present these issues before God. In James chapter 5, we've been talking about James chapter 5 on Wednesdays in effective praying. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 verse 16. The Bible says, therefore confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. It now says, the prayer of the righteous man. Another translation says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. The passionate, the hot prayer, the lively prayer, the prayer that is coming from the fire of the heart, that prayer has much with God. I'm believing that in this month of September, you will have results in prayer that you have never had before. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. But I want you to pray specific prayers, bold prayers, no matter how out of the world they may sound, specific, and put your heart to it. Please be passionate about it. In fact, I've always said this here. I don't think it is good to show up before God and not be serious. I don't think it's good to show up before God in anything, whether it's prayer, when you come before God, take it as if you have come before the God of gods, the King of kings. If I stand before the president, I'll come looking my best. I will present a good front. But sometimes when people come before God, whether in church or at home, They just think that they just do it anyhow. But what I'm saying this morning is this. If you want prayer to have effect, if you want prayer to do what it's supposed to do, you make it specific and you put your heart into it. You make it passionate and you'll see results in the name of Jesus.